Phoenix Best, thank you so much for coming in.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, congratulations. You're playing Eponine in Les Mis.
Mm-hmm.
The tour just arrived in Philadelphia.
Yes.
And this is coming home for you.
It is, yeah. I grew up in Mount Airy, and so I grew up seeing shows at the Academy of Music when I was young.
And I understand you also worked for a ticket agency.
Yes, I did. I worked for Ticket Philadelphia, which is like the main ticketing agency for the Kimmel Center and all theaters under the Kimmel Center umbrella, like the Academy of Music, the Miriam Theater, a bunch of them. And so I sold tickets to Les Mis 5 years ago when it came in 2013, and I ended up seeing it myself, which was amazing. But yeah, I sold tickets to these shows that now I'm a part of.
That's great. Were you dreaming of doing this at that time?
I didn't know much about the show. My friends had told me about Les Mis, and I was like, oh, we should go see it. And I was a musical theater person, so I was like, yeah, I want to go see it. And we saw it, and I was like, I need to be in that show. I want to be in that show. I want to play Eponine so bad. And it was crazy that now here I am full circle playing that role on the same stage.
Wow, you wanted to play Eponine.
Mm-hmm.
How did you catch the musical theater bug in the first place?
I had been musical my whole life. I had been singing and playing piano. And my cousin did a production of Cinderella when I was like still in elementary school. And we were always in competition. And I was like, they did everything better than me. And I was like, I can do that better than you. And so when I went to middle school, I did a show. And ever since then, after high school, I went to DeSales University in Center Valley, Pennsylvania for 4 years. And I studied musical theater as well. And then after that, I went straight to New York.
You were cast and got jobs in shows pretty quickly.
Yeah, I did. I was in The Color Purple on Broadway. I was a swing, and I understudied about 5 parts, and I was in that for 14 months. And that was a month after I moved to New York that I found out I had gotten that job. And then I was a vacation cover for Dear Evan Hansen for 2 weeks back in June, and then now I'm here on tour with Les Mis.
Wow. So what's it like being in New York as an actor? Is it everything you thought it would be, or what's the biggest challenge?
It's very fast-paced, and you have to, you know, keep working. So even though you have a job, you know, you still have to keep auditioning, and you still have all these other things to build out your career as well that I didn't realize was a part of it until I started doing it in New York. You know, it's so quick. It's so fast-paced. There are shows coming out all the time, and there are shows closing constantly and new ones coming in, so...
It can be a tough life.
It can. And you never really know, you know, how long a show is going to stay open or how quickly it might close. Or
was there a particular person or an event that gave you confidence that you could do this?
I mean, my mom was really supportive. I know a lot of people who go to their parents and like, I want to do theater for the rest of my life. They're like, that's not really the smartest plan. But my mom was like, yeah, go ahead, do it. I was like, I want to go to college for it. She was like, all right, you're going to college. Amazing. Like, go do that. And she's been so supportive, and I really appreciate that because I know friends of mine who wanted to do theater, and their parents were like, no, you're going to be an accountant, or no, you're going to be a doctor, or, you know, things that solidify money. And, you know, where I am right now, I feel very financially stable, and I'm doing the thing that I love. So
that's wonderful.
Yeah.
So go back to the first time you saw Les Mis.
Mm-hmm.
How old were you?
Oh, my goodness. What was that? It was 5 years ago. 24. So 19? Did I do that math correctly? I think 19, yeah.
Everybody brings something different to the role of whomever they're playing. What's the most important thing to you in understanding Eponine?
Yeah, I think the most important thing is to not feel bad for yourself. Eponine is this character that a lot of people are like, oh, she's so sad. She loves this boy. He doesn't love her back. You know, all these things happen to her. She, you know, is just sad the whole show. And I feel like the thing that the director, James Powell, and I worked on is making her this real human who is going through everyday things with extraordinary circumstances. Like, she's tough. She's this tomboy in a way, and who doesn't actually know how to like show that she likes this guy. And so she never actually reveals to him that she likes him until like way further on in the show, even though the audience can see it. And so I want to continually make her a real person so that the people in the audience feel like they can connect more, because I feel like the more I feel bad for myself on stage, it's a little harder for the people in the audience too. But if I'm just like living my life and like thinking everything is good and like knowing I like this boy, but I'm going to still fight for him, even though he's not really showing me that, I'm going to keep going. And it's like she has this tenacity and this bravery and this strength, even though like she's really going through some hard stuff. But like everyone goes through something hard. And the one thing about Les Mis is everyone is going after a goal. They're not always the same. They're always trying to achieve and they're very determined. Some people get it and some people don't, and that's just kind of how life is. And so I want to make sure that it's very plain that she's a real person who just happens to have all these much bigger things going on around her.
Maybe we should back up just for anyone, if there are any people out there who have not seen Les Mis, where your character fits in the whole plot.
Yeah, so, I mean, the story is about Valjean, Jean Valjean, and he was imprisoned, and now he's out, and he's trying to make a better life for himself. And as he goes through his life, there are about seven other characters that come into play that kind of infuse into his life, either one degree of separation from him or completely with him. And Eponine, my character, is... she comes into the story with Marius, who is a student who is, you know, on his way to the revolution, and she loves him, but he loves Cosette, who is his adoptive daughter. So that's kind of how I play into that. And Marius and Cosette fall in love, and Eponine has this unrequited love for Marius, and she's just like his best friend. And like, I know what that's like to be someone's best friend and like, you know, really like them, but they might not like you back. And so that's kind of where Eponine fits into it. She's this like strong young woman fighting for love in the grand scheme of things that is the story of Les Mis, which is following Valjean.
Right. A story like this is powerful even without music. Mm-hmm. But what does music add to it for you?
I feel like this music is just so beautiful. The orchestration, even the way that the lyrics are written, like my song On My Own, I sing it 8 times a week, but there are sometimes I like think about the lyrics, and she says, in the rain, the pavement shines like silver, all the lights are misty in the river. It's like, I would have never been like, ooh, the pavement is shining like silver and these lights are glistening on this like really dark night, you know? So I just feel like the lyrics infuse into it because the show is completely sung. There are no book scenes, as we call them, where it's just like, you know how you and I are having a conversation right now. It's all sung to each other. And sometimes people don't like musical theater because it's like, how does everyone know the same song and the same notes and things like that? And it doesn't make sense. But because we keep the consistency of singing throughout the whole show, it's much easier to grasp the intention of the show and like what is going on.
And you can take that leap and it feels very authentic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, that's wonderful. Is your family still here?
Yes, my family is still here. Most of my family still lives in Mount Airy and other small parts around Philadelphia, either like a little further out in the suburbs or like close to the city. But pretty much everyone is still here except me.
So what's the first thing you do when you come home?
The first thing I do is just like relax with my family. I don't really get much time to see my family because I have been in New York so much. And then I was going back and forth and doing shows in other places. And so just like having that quality time at first is really nice. But the one thing I will do while I'm here now is like after this day of press, I want to go get a cheesesteak because I haven't had one yet.
And where do you go for them?
I like D'Alessandro's. It's a little further out, but I really like that. I mean, I'll eat Pat's or Gino's as well, but that one's my favorite. Mm-hmm.
And you mentioned that you're touring. What's that like? How has that changed the experience? It must be tiring.
Yeah, touring is really hard. I mean, it's so much fun, but it's really hard because you're away from your friends and family, and you're living out of a suitcase constantly. And I know a lot of people are having issues because they want to buy things on tour, and our suitcases have to be a certain size. Like it has to be 50 pounds or less, you know, because we fly some places, and it's really hard to like accumulate more things. And I feel like I kept sending things home because I was like, my suitcase is too heavy. But yeah, living in a hotel, it's fun. And like getting to do this show is amazing. But it is hard to constantly pick up and move to a new city and move, you know, sometimes every week.
I gather, though, it might help reinforce the ensemble nature of this piece, because it is an ensemble piece. And the more you do it and the more experiences you have with the cast, I guess, the stronger the dynamics are?
Yeah, definitely. I feel like our cast has grown into this family thing. You know, we're not actually family, but we've grown to care for each other on and off stage. And the off stage camaraderie and relationships that we have definitely infused to what is seen on stage. And I feel like our stage production has just gotten better and better just because of the dynamics that we have behind the scenes.
So where are you in the tour and how much more do you have left?
We are in the tour. Where are we? We're on our fourth month of the tour. I'm not sure exactly which city because we did a bunch of 1 week cities back to back to back to back. But the tour has dates out up until a year from when we started. So we started back in September in Providence. And so a long way to go.
So your first performance in Philadelphia was last night. Mm-hmm. What was it like?
It was really nerve-wracking. I was like so nervous the whole time. I felt like I was going to cry. But it was my first time ever performing in Philadelphia and my first time stepping foot on the Academy of Music stage. You know, after being in the audience for so many years, it's really cool to go back and be on the stage this time and have people come to see me.
What did you see out there when you looked out?
Oh my gosh, the theater in itself is just beautiful. And I just saw like all these people. And I actually looked up and saw right where I sat when I saw the show 5 years ago. And I was like, I wonder if that person feels exactly how I felt when I did.
Great. Congratulations.
Thank you.
And good luck with it.
Thank you.
It's been great talking to you.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
Everything you hear on WRTI is made possible by members. Please join today.